Broadcasting live from the beautiful Gwinnett Infinite Energy Center in Atlanta, Georgia, for the Power of Partnering Marketplace Conference, it's time for GWBC Radio. Now, here are your hosts.
We are broadcasting for GWBC Power of Partnering Marketplace. Lee, you ready for this one, buddy?
I am.
All right. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, President and CEO with Lexair, Miss Paula Edwards. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you all doing today?
We are doing great. It's been a fun show for us. But tell us about Lexair. How are you serving folks?
Well, I think that it's an exciting time for Lexair. So Lexair is headquartered in Greensboro, North Carolina. Beautiful Greensboro, North Carolina.
Just down the road.
Just down the road a piece, right? And we also have operations in Toronto, Canada. And also another operational facility in the Netherlands to support Europe. And so Lexair has been around for about 21 years now. So we're not old school yet, but we've been here a minute.
And then what are you doing? What are you doing to serve folks?
My company is in the business of communication technology, device, and the services that surround the device and the technology. So what that would mean to someone who isn't speaking industry jargon, because I really try not to sound smarter than anyone else because I usually am not, is if your business is generally a large business, we service mostly Fortune 500 companies either nationally or globally for anything that would be voice. So whether that be something as simple as they need a centralized acquisition solution for headsets or telephones or audio video conference equipment, mobile accessories, something like that, we can support that. If we want to go further down the supply chain, we offer hosted voice. So if a company is moving into the unified communications and they're looking to explore adding inbound and outbound voice via their PC in the cloud or on-prem, we can help them with that. And that it can be a simple a la carte solution, or we can do the whole thing soup to nuts where we're managing the deployment, creating an adoption strategy, and a reverse logistics strategy where businesses are very interested in finding dynamic ways, new methodologies to save budget and simplify the process. Because, you know, the great thing about technology is it's always growing and changing. The awful thing about technology is it's always growing and changing. And so it really becomes kind of a massive puzzle where you're almost afraid to make the wrong decision because the next best thing could be out tomorrow. And so our job really, it's not so much about the widgets we sell or the services we sell, which are many. It's really about partnering with our customer to try and educate them, whether I sell the solution or not, what is available, what's really going to help them get to where they want to go, not just today, but to future-proof it tomorrow. Because the last thing we want to do is tell somebody to buy a whole bunch of things to find out tomorrow there's something better. That doesn't make any... I know I hate going to go buy a car because I don't know anything about cars. And so I really want to buy this car today. And if somebody told me the new one was coming out tomorrow today, I'd want to know that.
Right.
Because I'd be really not happy tomorrow if I found out they knew that and they didn't tell me, right? Or that the competitor, they know what I'm in the market for, and they know that's coming out up the street, but they want the sale.
Right.
Well, am I ever going to go back there?
No.
Of course not. So I don't want to be around today. I want to be around for a long time. So now, that's now, our approach.
What's the pain that these companies are having where they're like, you know what, we got to call the Lexair folks?
I think the one of the biggest pains that we hear by the time we get to the table is they may have been working with a supplier that is about this many at that price. And, you know, if that's someone's philosophy, I'm not going to fault them. I can give you the names of several suppliers that'll be perfectly happy to give you kind of an Amazon experience where it's just, you know, cheapest price and thanks, have a nice day, good luck with that. Where we find that there is pain when we get to the table is that they've, if we look at unified communication, which is the number one fastest growing technology in voice communications, to you as a common person that's maybe not in business for this, for an enterprise, if you've heard of RingCentral or Vonage or any of those types of solutions, so you're getting rid of the landline and you're moving to a solution that is in the cloud that can potentially be touched just by point and click on your computer and you can make a phone call. So if they're moving into that technology and it hasn't been done well, they've potentially spent thousands or sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars on devices that either don't meet their needs or for whatever the reason, it just didn't work.
It doesn't live up to their expectations.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Adoption has been poor. And so what happens is people will get this device and this new technology and they show up at their desk and they have no idea what they're supposed to do with it. And everyone gets upset. You know, everything looks different. And that gets put in the drawer and that's the end of it. So you just spent thousands of dollars and you have no one using it.
And they're using some workaround that they
figured
out.
And they will because... Do you like change? Most people don't like change. And if you're going to change something, it's kind of better to tell them you're going to make this change. You know, nobody likes to show up on Monday morning going,
surprise.
What just happened over the weekend? I left on Friday and everything's my computer looks different. Everything looks different. So that really is our job, is to work with a customer and try to make that a better experience.
And then, so it sounds like you work very holistically and it isn't a kind of transactional relationship. This is a real relationship where you're trying to give them the outcome they desire. And then the tools are not as kind of relevant as creating the right solution for them that's going to solve what they're trying to solve.
Agreed. If we do our job well, in the end, if we're just talking about measurable savings, you know, everyone can be distracted because I think a lot of companies come and talk about a lot of soft savings and productivity and all those things, and that's great. But if we're talking about measurable savings, if we've done our job well, at the end of the day, the experience should be established through a long-term relationship. I'm a big believer in relationship business. And that the processes and the how we approach what we do is so valuable that it can pay for the cost of the devices. So if we do it really well, the devices will actually become a moot point because there's so much measurable savings in the way we did what we did. We can prove out that there's just no way this is going to be a bad thing moving forward. Many of my national and global contracts go back 20 years. We're a small business, wow, and we're competing with some really big players out there. And as you know, in technology, the market's always changing. It's extremely competitive. To be able to have a relationship with the type of customer we work with for that long, you really have to gain their trust. It has to be a reciprocal relationship. It can't just be about me selling to them, my company selling to them. It has to be about my company investing in their success. It's really, really important.
Right. And it wouldn't be a right fit if they're trying to be the one, like, I need to save 3 cents per widget. That's not the right fit for you.
That's right. And that's why we say every customer is not the best customer for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that's their philosophy, then I am happy to help them find suppliers that will meet that need. That's just not who we are.
And then for you, why was it important for you to get involved with GWBC?
Well, I have been, I started with WeBank way back. I want to say we were trying to figure it out the other day. It was either 2002 or 2004.
Before it was cool.
I was going to say before the wheel or fire, but you know. But GWBC as our RPO, the value that it brings to my business is... It is found in the learning opportunities, the education opportunities, as far as formalized learning, so workshops and those types of events. But the greatest value to my company is meeting other women-owned businesses and learning from them. Now, that may be someone who has been where I want to go and so can really share a roadmap. And there's personal pain points. There's business pain points. But someone who has walked in those shoes of where I want to go, their experience is invaluable. And so having access to those types of resources, I don't know how you put a dollar sign of value on that. But the other great value with GWBC, as far as interacting with women-owned businesses, is the people that are new to the organization. So I've been around for a minute. And I hope that I can deliver value to them and learn something that I can pay it forward so I can do something to help their business. We have a new initiative this year with GWBC called I Commit. And I Commit is just a really exciting initiative. With the world of diversity and inclusion, if you go back about 20 years when it was new, The organizations at that point were just trying to focus on developing diverse suppliers into the corporate supply chain and bringing value in. What's happened over the last 20 years is now we have several corporations, and they're not doing anything wrong, but they've checked that box. So we're spending this much and we're doing it. And we're, you know, you can get a little complacent because I'm doing my job. I'm good. Right. It's fun. You know, I can go to the parties and that's kind of cool. And that's great. But I think that where we need to go next is for those of us who have been granted some level of reasonable, I guess, measurable success by most people's standards, I think we have a responsibility then to go back and say, okay, that's great. We've achieved, we've taken companies from small to $10 billion or whatever it might be. And that's a great story. What can we do for the next generation? So instead of just putting it in a couple buckets within the organization, I think going back and looking at new companies and expanding the number of those companies, I think it's also very important that GWBC is excellent at helping us understand our value when we come to the table. No one in diversity or inclusion should show up with a tin cup. One of the best stories I had ever heard, I was at a town meeting with a corporation, and the gentleman from the corporation was talking to everyone, and he was telling a story about someone who was from the diversity background and showed up and called him, and he could hear his dog barking in the background, and he said, okay, I'm certified. I want to know, you know, when you're going to start placing orders with
check.
Me.
When
right,
I get my
you know,
check.
Right? And or, you know, just the expectation of, because of our status, that it's an automatic. It is not. GWBC does an excellent job at making sure we understand that we must be competitive. Okay, nothing starts until you're competitive, and you have to be financially viable. So that's one of the hard things, I think, when companies first start out, because if you're in the diversity field, if you misunderstand what that means.
It's not a charity.
It is not, and you may want to do business with large corporations, and you may not be financially able to do so yet.
Or you might not be ready yet.
Right. So come in as a tier two.
Right.
And so the iCommit initiative is addressing exactly that. Mm-hmm. The goal is to expand the number of vetted, qualified companies that happen to be part of the diversity inclusion family, but to help them develop. So if I have major contracts with some corporations, I'm going to be talking with my customers about someone I have vetted. So because my credibility is
right,
on the line.
Right, you're vouching for them.
You bet. And they should probably have synergy with something I do. So it's a good way for me to potentially grow my exposure within the company, my customer, but also to help them
right.
move the,
so
the
it's a win,
ball
win,
a little
win.
Bit further down the yeah further down the field. So that's our goal for this year. Is the initiative is called iCommit. We're very excited to test it for the next 12 months. And hopefully a year from now, I'll be able to tell you how much success we've had with it.
So now, any advice for that woman-owned business that isn't involved with GWBC? Like, do you consider this a missed opportunity for most of them? Or is this something that, like you said, maybe they can come in and just learn for a while? It's not something that's going to just you join and then money flows your way, but it's if you join, there's opportunity here to learn, to build your business, and be ready for the money to flow your way.
Right. My advice to any new women-owned business out there would be this. There are multiple organizations you can use as resources out there. What GWBC does well is it brings multiple resources together into one venue. So it may be you want to gain certification because you want to do business with corporations. They can help you do that because they are aligned with WeBank, which is the National Certification Organization. But beyond that, let's say you're a company that you don't want to do business with corporations. That's not what type of business you are. But you're trying to learn how to grow your business, to develop your business. You're going to be able to tap into a wealth of knowledge, whether that be through the centralized database online, webinars, if you don't have time to come to events. If you do, there's going to be workshops. It might be when a company is new, we all have kind of the same startup challenges. And in every company, more or less, even if you don't have enough bodies to fill all the butts in the seats, it's going to have the same basic needs as far as departmental. So you're going to have administrative and accounting and marketing and, you know, whatever else is basic for every business. What GWBC is going to be able to help you do is figure out your pain points and how to overcome them. So cash flow. and developing talent to figure out how you want to put resources into your business as far as human capital goes. Making relationships maybe with a bank, when to get a credit line, by the way, is always when you don't need one. Don't wait until you need one. That's really important advice I got early on when do it when you're young so that your business is young so that you can grow with a bank. A bank should be your partner. Well, they're going to be able to help you make some introductions into that world. They can help you find resources within the SBA if you need low interest loans. They can help you develop from an incubator company and find you a mentor or a coach, which I really advise when you're a new business, whether that be through GWBC aligning you with someone inside of our organization or another resource. It's very important to have a mentor and a coach. A mentor is going to give you an idea of where you're going and how you want to get there. A coach is going to make you do it and hold you accountable. It's very easy when you're a business owner because you're the top dog. No, you know, who's going to challenge you? Your employees aren't going to tell you, right? They don't want to be fired. Very important to find someone to be accountable to other than yourself, because it's very easy to say, I'm going to do all these things and they don't happen. Well, I'll do them later, you know, because who's going to make me, right? So that's really important. GWBC, so in a nutshell, is going to be able to bring those resources to bear in an environment that is safe and welcoming. For someone who's new, please don't, it can be overwhelming and intimidating, I think, when you first come to the table, that you think, oh, I'm so small, maybe the other businesses are bigger than me. It's irrelevant. It's not a click. We are here to help you. My job, I am a member, a representative of the national level for the forum. I'm the GWBC member for the forum at the national level for WeBank. My job is to learn about your business and learn about how we can do better as an organization all the time, trying to grow and develop as an organization to bring you what you need to get your business to the next level. So please use it, leverage it for relationships, leverage it for education, leverage it just so you know you're not alone. Being a woman-owned business, being a business owner as a woman, it's different than being a business owner as a man. We can put expectations on ourselves, even if society doesn't even do it anymore. About you talk about juggling a whole lot of balls in the air. If your children are young and you feel guilty because you have to be on a business trip and you can't be at their events, and you know, who do you vent that to? Who do you talk to say, am I a bad person? No, you're not a bad person. This is like some of the trade-off. If you're not getting the support from your family, if you're not getting the support from your home, depending on what culture you're coming from, there can be challenges being a woman.
Right. And it may not be anything more than their ignorance, that they don't understand what you're going through.
That's right. And so just to have someone to talk to so you don't feel alone, that you have a peer group you can trust. And the most amazing thing is, we're not intentionally a networking organization to do business specifically. It's not like I give you a business card from my customer, right, you give me one from yours. But organically, you do see a lot of business networking or relationships occur, because you learn and you trust and you find people that you relate to.
Right. Now, what's next for Lexair?
Well, Lexair is in the process right now of going through a fairly large scaling initiative. Sales is not our problem. We're very fortunate to have some wonderful, wonderful customers. So our next year will be focused on adding human capital to our team and finding the best and brightest so that I can very much move more into a strategic role. My job now should be developing talent and finding avenues for my team to do the best things that they do, you know. And so I think this is going to be an exciting time for Lexair as we continue to grow with our customers globally, which is a very exciting position to be in, and really look at what I can do for my company and my team to take us to that next level.
And if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation, what's the website?
The website is www.lexair.com, or you can reach us via email at info@lexairsales.com. Or if you're ever in Greensboro, by all means, just stop by.
There you go. Well, Paula, thank you so much for sharing your story.
I appreciate you all having me on, and hope to continue to follow this wonderful radio station as it grows. And looking really forward to what you guys are going to be doing in the next year as well. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back in a few from GWBC Power of Partnering Marketplace.